ॐ गणितमिनन्दस्य जना जना सलकया चक्षु सुमिलितं येन तस्मरसि गदे नमः श्री चैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्तुपितं येन भूतले स्वयं प्रकदमायं दधति सापनदिकम् मंसकोपचरुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभैः च कथितरं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः The three of them combined together. Who are the three? Jara, old age, that was, and then there was the king of the Yavanas, Yavanaraj, who was also known as, here it describes as Bhaya. Sainik Bhaya Namno Ye. Fear itself. So old age, fear, and prajara. Prajara is the fever that precedes death. And all the soldiers, day and night, day and night, day and night, which plunder slowly, practically speaking, imperceptibly, plunder our life away, day by day, day by day. We think we're getting older, or we think we're maturing, but actually we're coming a day closer to death and a night closer to death. This is for the non-devotees. For the devotees, sincere and pure, they're coming a step closer to Krishna with each passing day. When we say Krishna, we mean Krishna's service in Goloka Vrindavan. With every amount of service done, a step closer to Krishna is taken. So for devotees and non-devotees, the days and the nights and old age and even fear itself are completely different. Because when a non-devotee is fearful, why is he fearful? Because everything that he's attached to is crumbling. Or, if not everything, but something. What is a typical thing someone gets afraid of? Think what you become afraid of. And usually it's something to do with the body or losing something on the material level. That strikes us with great fear, a terror in the heart. So that which is inevitable, everything in the material world we will lose, we must lose. So fear is inevitable, and it crumbles, crashes, destroys the material reality, the conceptions of what reality is for a non-devotee. But for a devotee, even though he may have some attachments, when he sees that fear coming, he recognizes that. That's Krishna telling him that he has to hold on tight to the Lord's lotus feet. Because there will be no other shelter. So, prajara, the fever, kalakanya, jara, old age, the soldiers, day and night, and Yavanaraj, fear, began to travel all over the world. In other words, his time, Paranjana, the living entity who is seeking pleasure within the material body, his time is ending. His city, the city of his body will be crushed, and neither the serpent who protects the city, which is his life energy, nor his material intelligence, which is his wife, nor all his desires, the descendants that he's produced in this life, nothing will be able to protect him. Prabhupada's purport. The period of life just prior to death is certainly very dangerous, because usually at this time people are attacked by the weakness of old age as well as many kind of disease. The diseases that attack the body are compared here to soldiers. These soldiers are not ordinary soldiers, for they are guided by the king of the Yavanas, who acts as their commander-in-chief. The word dishtakarina indicates that he is their commander. When a man is young, he does not care for old age, but enjoys sex to the best of his satisfaction, not knowing that at the end of life, his sexual indulgence will bring on various diseases, which so much disturb the body that one will pray for immediate death. The more one enjoys sex during youth, the more he suffers in old age. 2. Once the dangerous soldiers attacked the city of Paranjana with great force, although the city was full of paraphernalia for sense gratification. All the fortifications were there, all the comforts of life. It was set up perfectly for enjoyment, because that's the tendency in old age. One has worked so hard, one doesn't have much energy, so he makes whatever facilities he can so his life is comfortable. And the city was being protected by the old serpent. We'll read some of the purport. As one's body engages in sense gratification, it becomes weaker and weaker daily. Finally, the vital force becomes so weak that it is herein compared to a weak old serpent. The life air has already been compared to the serpent. When the vital force within the body becomes weak, the body itself also becomes weak. At such a time, the death symptoms, that is, the dangerous soldiers of death superintendent Yamaraj, begin to attack very severely. So there is no mercy. If someone is in a weakened condition and he is attacked by another, it's considered either unchivalrous, cruel, degraded, so many other terms, so low to attack someone who's already weak. Fighting should be done amongst equals. This is actually the Vedic standard, and it's a civilized standard. But when one becomes weak due to old age, diseases are merciless. They attack with great vehemence. So what should one do at those times? According to the Vedic system, before coming to such a stage, one should leave home and take sannyas to preach the message of God for the duration of life. However, if one sits at home and is served by his beloved wife and children, he certainly becomes weaker and weaker due to sense gratification. And when death finally comes, one leaves the body devoid of spiritual assets. So, should there be, this part of the Bhagavatam, should there be, what is it, a rating, mature audiences only, or something? No, it's for everyone, even the immature audiences, because it's important that we hear these things, although it is not at all pleasant to think this is what's going to happen. But it is not at all pleasant, so what do we usually do? We forget about it very quickly and go on with the more pleasing things in life. But this is inevitable reality for everyone, and therefore we should prepare very carefully and live our life knowing that this is going to happen, and therefore live intelligently. So gradually, Kalakanya, with the help of dangerous soldiers, attacked all the inhabitants of Paranjana city and thus rendered them useless for all purposes. Purport. We'll read second half. When one reaches the age of 50, he should give up family life. At that time, one's child should be grown up so that the father can leave the family responsibilities to him. The husband and wife may then go abroad to live a retired life and travel to different places of pilgrimage. When both the husband and wife lose their attachment for family and home, the wife returns home to live under the care of her grown-up children and to remain aloof from family affairs. The husband then takes sannyas to render some service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the perfect system of civilization. The human form of life is especially meant for God realization. If one is unable to take to the process of Krishna consciousness from the very beginning of life, Prabhupada's implying there that obviously it's much better to take to it from the beginning of life, but if we can't do that, at least let's look ahead a little bit and see what's going to happen, see what's inevitable, see what's unavoidable. And at least he must be trained to accept these principles at the fag end of life. Unfortunately, there is no training even in childhood, nor can one give up his family life even at the end. This is the situation within the city of Paranjana, figuratively described in these verses. Text 4. When Kalakanya, daughter of time, attacked the body, old age, dangerous soldiers of the king of the Yavanas entered the city through different gates. Diseases entered through the different gates. They then began to give severe trouble to all the citizens. So there was pain at the gates. The eyes become weak, constipation, the teeth, what happens to the teeth, fall out. The ears, they start ringing or they become weak, etc. All this difficulty. Everywhere. When the city was thus endangered by the soldiers and Kalakanya, diseases and old age, King Paranjana, being absorbed in affection for his family, was placed in difficulty by the attack of Yavanaraj and Kalakanya. Purport. When we refer to the body, we include the external gross body with its various limbs, as well as the mind. The mind becomes weak, the intelligence becomes frail, and the ego becomes shaky. In old age, these all become weak when they are attacked by different diseases. The proprietor of the body, the living soul, becomes very sad at not being able to use the field of activities properly. He's used to these things. He's used to these things working properly. And therefore, it's very disturbing. There's no word satisfying, but it satisfies one. Becomes depressed. There's no more purpose to life, misery. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly explained that the living entity is the proprietor of this body, the chatrigya, and that the body is the field of activities, the chatra. When a field is overgrown with thorns and weeds, it becomes very difficult for the owner to work it. That is the position of the spirit soul when the body itself becomes a burden due to disease. Extra burdens are placed on the body in the form of anxiety and general deterioration of the bodily functions. But notice what it said earlier. What is that? That sannyas life is due for performing service. To go knowing that you're going to die, but go nobly. Not sitting at home and being overwhelmed by the affection of the parents, of the children, or behind your back, they're saying, when you get very, very old and you can't do anything and you get cranky and disturbed, And the children are thinking, when is he going to die already so I can get the inheritance? And in front of your face, they're saying, oh, how are you feeling today? So go with honor. That's the injunction. Go like a hero. This is what earlier on. See, remember that who is hearing this? Who is hearing all this? We're hearing it, of course, but who is speaking? Mm-hmm. Yes, to Prachini Bharisha. But who's telling that story? Maitreya Muni telling it to Vidura. And at the end of the fourth canto, what we're going to hear is that Vidura leaves and goes back to Hastinapur, which we read in the first canto in chapter 13. He goes back to Hastinapur and he begins to shake Dhritarashtra, who's exactly in this situation also. Die like a hero. You've already wasted your life. You've been so offensive. Now leave. Don't stay at home taking the remnants of food tossed to you like you're the family dog by Bhima. No. Your honor. Go. Die like a nobleman. So when King Paranjana was embraced by Kalakanya, so who is Kalakanya? Huh? The daughter of time. Who is the daughter of time? Yes, old age. So embraced. What a way to put it. Embraced by old age. It's like being embraced by a python. You can't escape. And still, having been too much addicted to, he gradually lost all his beauty. Having been too much addicted to sex, he became very poor and intelligent and lost all his opulence. Being bereft of all possessions, he was conquered forcibly by the Gandharvas and the Yamanas. King Paranjana then saw that everything in his town was scattered, and his sons, grandsons, servants, and ministers were all gradually opposing him. He also noted that his wife was becoming cold and indifferent. Purport. When one becomes an invalid, his senses and organs are weakened. In other words, they are no longer under one's control. The senses and sense objects then begin to oppose him. When a person is in a distressed condition, even his family members, his sons, grandsons, and wife become disrespectful. They no longer are under the command of the master of the house. Just as we wish to use our senses for sense gratification, the senses also require strength from the body in reciprocation. A man keeps a family for enjoyment, and similarly, family members demand enjoyment from the head of the family. When they do not receive sufficient money from him, they grow disinterested and ignore his commands or desires. There is one story something that I experienced, that there was one disciple of Prabhupada who was a retired headmaster of a school in India. And he was, I can't remember how old he was then, but he was probably in his 50s, and he retired. So Prabhupada requested him to go to Vrindavan and take over the school, the Gurukula. And although Prabhupada requested him in that way, the man didn't do it because of his family responsibilities. And then he lived in Bombay. And then when I was in Bombay perhaps in 1993 or so, and after having really not been in contact with the devotees, he telephoned. So he asked if someone could take him to Vrindavan now. And he had a very, very sad story to tell, that he had served his family members, he had neglected what Prabhupada said and served his family members, and then he ran out of money and they were disrespectful just like this and basically kicked him out of the house. And he was old. He was over 75 by this time. And he was asking, now I want to go to Vrindavan. But now he couldn't even do the service that his Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, had asked him. But he had realized, his detachment finally came when he realized the nature of this kind of love. He had given everything for that kind of love, and that kind of love proved to be completely H-O-L-L-O-W.
Hollow.
Very good. Means no substance, a facade. A facade, just like in the movies, in the old westerns. The movies, they'd build a town, but just there would be nothing. They'd just build a wooden front for the movie, and there'd be no houses behind it. Yes? Just be the wood front that made it look like a house. So that's really the nature of the love in the material world. It's just the facade, the front part only, with no substance behind it. And people give their life, their energy, their eternal life, in one sense, they devote it to that. And then the facade, when there's something wrong, the facade just falls over, shows that there was nothing there all along. When King Paranjana saw that all his family members, relatives, followers, servants, secretaries, and everyone else had turned against him, he certainly became very anxious. But he could not counteract the situation because he was thoroughly overwhelmed by Kalakanya. The objects of enjoyment became stale by the influence of Kalakanya. All the things that he used to enjoy no longer offered him any pleasure anymore. So due to the continuance of his lusty desires, King Paranjana became very poor in everything. Thus he did not understand the aim of life, but still, he was still very affectionate towards his wife and children, and he worried about maintaining them. He became bewildered by his affection. He lost the proper perspective. The city of King Paranjana was overcome by the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers. And although the king had no desire to leave the city, he was circumstantially forced to do so, for it was smashed by Kalakanya. So what is the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that? He didn't want to leave the city. He didn't want to die. Even though the body was completely wrecked and ruined, and the situation was so miserable, abominable, external his dealings with others, internal pain, this and that, but still, he didn't want to leave. But despite the fact that he didn't want to leave, he was forced. He was forced to leave by the soldiers. So this is the very nature of the soul situation within the body. Prabhupada explains in the second part of his purport. Unfortunately, society has no information of the soul's transmigration. So it's very dangerous to be in that situation too. Because the living entity does not hope to enter the spiritual kingdom of eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. He wants to stick to his present body, even though it may be useless. Still wants to stick to it. Consequently, the greatest welfare activity in this material world is the furthering of the Krishna consciousness movement. So that is what Prabhupada wanted for his ISKCON. He once said, without preaching, the institution becomes... You know what word he used? Huh? No? Without preaching, the whole institution becomes...
Rubbish.
It's meant for this. For outreach. So it's meant for welfare work, which is good for the welfare workers and good for the world. This movement, Prabhupada explains, is giving human society information about the kingdom of God. There is God, there is Krishna, and everyone can return to God and live eternally in bliss and knowledge. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person, we'll read that one again. A Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. So usually we say, this devotee did this and this devotee did that and I'm a devotee, and if someone said you're a non-devotee, you'd feel insulted. But this is what a devotee is. This is what a Krishna conscious person is. His realization is so deep about that he is not his body, that he is an eternal soul, that he's Krishna's, that he has an eternal relationship with Krishna, that he's not afraid of leaving his body. Abhaya, no fear. Did you ever see that? I don't know if it was out here, but there was a company that made surfwear called No Fear. Yeah? Did you know that? Yeah? That was started by a devotee. Yeah, it was named after Prabhupada, Abhaya. Yeah. No fear. I told one of my friends about it, and he was an old surfer himself, a devotee friend, and I said, everyone has this sticker, it says no idea. And he said, more accurately, it should say, no, everyone has a sticker, it says no fear. And he said, more accurately, it should say no idea. No idea what's going on. So a Krishna conscious person is not afraid of giving up the body because his position is always eternal. A Krishna conscious person engages in the loving, in the transcendental loving service of the Lord eternally. Therefore, as long as he lives within the body, he is happy to engage in the loving service of the Lord, and when he gives up the body, he is also permanently situated in the service of the Lord. The saintly devotees are always free and liberated, whereas the karmis, who have no knowledge of spiritual life or the transcendental loving service of the Lord, are very much afraid of giving up the rotten material body. People don't mind giving up the rotten material body as long as it's not their own rotten material body. Text 11. Under the circumstances, the elder brother of Yavanaraj, known as Pajara, set fire to the city to please his younger brother, whose other name is Fear itself. In the Vedic system, a dead body is set on fire, but before death there is another fire or fever which is called Prajara or Vishnujara. When the city was set ablaze, all the citizens and servants of the king, as well as all family members, sons, grandsons, wives, and other relatives, were within the fire. King Paranjana thus became very unhappy. Purport. There are many parts of the body, the senses, the limbs, the skin, the muscles, blood, marrow, and all these are considered here as figuratively as sons, grandsons, citizens, and dependents. When the body is attacked by the Vishnu Jara, the fiery condition becomes so acute that sometimes one remains in a coma. This means that the body is in such severe pain that one becomes unconscious and cannot feel the miseries taking place within the body. Indeed, the living entity becomes so helpless at the time of death that although unwilling, he is forced to give up the body and enter another. The city superintendent of police, the serpent, saw that the citizens were being attacked by Kalakanya, and he became very aggrieved to see his own residence set ablaze after being attacked by the Yavanas. The living entity is covered by two different types of bodies, the gross body and the subtle body. At death, we can see that the gross body is finished, but actually the living entity is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. Adishya manasayam vishaya upasevate. Vaya eva Vaya Iva Ganda Iva something. Now, just as the air carries aroma, similarly the subtle body carries the desires of a living entity to his next body at death. Yam yam vapi smram bhavam tajanyante kalevra. The so-called scientists of the modern age cannot see how the subtle body is working and carrying the soul from one body to another. The subtle body has been figuratively described as a serpent or the city's police superintendent. When there is a fire everywhere, the police superintendent cannot escape either. When there is security and an absence of the fire in the city, the police superintendent can impose his authority upon the citizens. But when there is an all-out attack on the city, he is rendered useless. As the life air was ready to leave the gross body, the subtle body also began to experience pain. As a serpent living within the cavity of a tree, text 14, wishes to leave when there is a forest fire, so the city's police superintendent, the snake, wished to leave the city due to the fire's severe heat. Purport. It becomes very difficult for snakes to leave a forest when there's a fire. Other animals may flee due to their long legs, but serpents, only being able to crawl, are generally burnt in the fire. At the last stage, the limbs of the body had not as much affected as the life air. Text 15. The limbs of the serpent's body were slackened by the Gandharvas and Yavana soldiers, who had thoroughly defeated his bodily strength. When he attempted to leave the body, he was checked by his enemies. Thus being baffled in his attempt, he began to cry loudly. Purport. At the last stage of life, the different gates of the body are choked by the effects of disease, which are caused by an imbalance of bile, mucus, and air. Thus the living entity cannot clearly express his difficulties, and surrounding relatives hear the sound gora gora, but not gora gora, from a dying man. In the Mukundamala Stotra, King Kulasekhar states, Krishna tadiya parapankaja panjarantam adhyaiva me vijatu manasaraja hansa prana prayana samaye kafavatapita kanta varodhan vado smaranam kutaste. My dear Krishna, please help me die immediately, so that the swan of my mind may be encircled by the stem of your lotus feet. Otherwise, at the time of my final breath, when my throat is choked up, how will it be possible for me to think of you? The swan takes great pleasure in diving within the water and being encircled by the stem of the lotus flower. This entanglement is sporting joy. If in our healthy condition we think of the lotus feet of the Lord and die, it is most fortunate. In old age, at the time of death, the throat sometimes becomes choked with mucus or blocked by air. At such a time, the sound vibration of Hare Krishna, the Maha Mantra, may not come out. Thus one may forget Krishna. Of course, those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage, because they are accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, especially when there is a signal from death. So, such heavy instructions that if one waits till he's dying and then thinking that then I'll become strong, obviously it won't work. So one should build his strength as soon as he wakes up to the fact that it's required. As early as he wakes up, and the older we get, the shift of the building of the strength has to change to this, to very deep, deep remembrance in all circumstances. And the Usually, no one, of course, likes difficult circumstances. And every day, so many difficult circumstances, so many things happen that we don't like. So, rather than thinking of those things as things that have to be removed, obstacles that just have to be removed, they should be seen as Krishna tapping us on the shoulder, saying, this is a test, a preparatory test. How are you handling it? Are you getting completely involved, or are you taking shelter of Krishna? Are you seeing as a signal to take shelter of Krishna? So those who are strong in Krishna consciousness cannot possibly forget Krishna at any stage. So does that mean that we are strong? At least I can speak for myself. No. And why are they strong? Because they're accustomed to chanting the Hare Krishna mantra when? Especially when there's a signal from death continuously. This is the practice. Text 16. King Paranjana then began to think. So he was, everything was getting upset, and he was leaving the body. And what did he begin to think of? He didn't take shelter of Krishna. Rather, he began to think of his daughters, his sons, his grandsons, his daughters-in-laws, his sons-in-laws, his servants and other associates, as well as his house, his household paraphernalia, and his little accumulation of wealth. It is not infrequent for a person overly attached to the material body to request a physician to prolong his life for at least some time. If the so-called scientific physician is able to prolong one's life for a few minutes through the use of oxygen or other medicines, he thinks that he is very successful in his attempts, although ultimately the patient will die. This is called the struggle for existence. At the time of death, both patient and physician still think of prolonged life, although all the constituents of the body are practically dead and gone. 17. King Paranjana was overly attached to his family conception of I and mine. Because he was overly attracted to his wife, he was already quite poverty-stricken. At the time of separation, he became very sorry. It is clear in this verse that at the time of death, thoughts of material enjoyment do not go away. This indicates that the living entity, the soul, is carried by the subtle body, mind, intelligence, and ego. Due to false ego, the living entity still wants to enjoy the material world, and for want of material enjoyment, he becomes sorry or sad. He still makes intellectual plans to further his existence. And therefore, although he gives up the gross body, he is carried by the subtle body to another gross body. The transmigration of the subtle body is never visible to material eyes. Therefore, when one gives up the gross body, we think that he is finished. Plans for material enjoyment are made by the subtle body, and the gross body is the instrument for enjoying these plans. Thus the gross body can be compared to the wife, for the wife is the agent for all kinds of sense gratification. Because of long association with the gross body, the living entity becomes very sad to be separated from it. The mental activity of the living entity obliges him to accept another gross body and continue his material existence. The Sanskrit word stri means expansion. Through the wife, one expands his various objects of attraction, sons, daughters, grandsons, and so on. Attachment to family members becomes very prominent at the time of death. Often, one often sees that just before leaving his body, a man may call for his beloved son to give him charge of his wife and other paraphernalia. He may say, "My dear son, I am being forced to leave. Please take charge of the family affairs." He speaks in this way, not even knowing his own destination, where he himself is going. He's worrying about all that, but he doesn't know where he's going himself. 18. King Paranjana was anxiously thinking, "Alas, my wife is encumbered by so many children. When I pass from this body, how will she be able to maintain all these family members? Alas, she will be greatly harassed by thoughts of family maintenance." Purport. All these thoughts of one's wife indicate that the king was overly engrossed with the thoughts of women. Generally, a chaste wife becomes a very obedient wife. This causes a husband to become attached to his wife, and consequently, he thinks of his wife very much at the time of death. This is a very, very dangerous situation, as is evident from the life of King Paranjana. If one thinks of his wife instead of Krishna at the time of death, he will certainly not return home back to Godhead, but will be forced to accept the body of a woman and thus begin another chapter of material existence. 19. King Paranjana then began to think of his past dealings with his wife. He recalled that his wife would not take her dinner until he had finished his, that she would not take her bath until he had finished his, that she was always very much attached to him, so much so that if he would sometimes become angry and chastise her, she would simply remain silent and tolerate his misbehavior. Purport. A wife is always supposed to be submissive to her husband. Submission, mild behavior, and subservience are qualities in a wife which make a husband very thoughtful of her. For family life, it is very good for a husband to be attached to his wife, but it is not very good for spiritual advancement. Thus, Krishna consciousness must be established in every home. If a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, they will both benefit because Krishna is the center of their existence. So that's the solution. Not families that just break apart due to unattachment, detachment from each other, but rather the Krishna consciousness must be established in every home. If a husband and wife are very much attached to one another in Krishna consciousness, they will both be benefited because Krishna is the center of their existence. Otherwise, if the husband is too attached to his wife, he becomes a woman in his next life. The woman, being overly attached to her husband, becomes a man in her next life. Of course, it is an advantage for a woman to become a man, but it is not at all advantageous for the man to become a woman. If they make new editions, edited especially for the contemporary age, that's one of the things we'll have to take out, right? Because the ladies will protest. One time, about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, I bought a sleeping bag. And the one in charge of it was the ranger store. And the manager was this sort of strong Mataji. Not exactly Mataji, but woman. What are they? You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to call them ladies. You're supposed to call them women. What is it?
Female person.
Yeah, and sometimes in the bathrooms they also have, they put male, female now. They don't put ladies and gents or men and women. Male, female. So in any case, I was teasing her. She said something about, you know, how great it is to be a woman, and I was teasing her, something like that. And she responded by saying, "Yep, I want to be a woman, birth after birth after birth after birth." I teased her and I said, "Oh, you want, how many births do you want to be a woman?" She said, "Birth after birth after birth." But there's so much pain in every kind of material body. So much pain in every kind of a material body. It's better to get out. And to do that, one has to pay the price of being attached to Krishna. There was one group of Matajis, devotee Matajis, who suggested that they annotate Prabhupada's books and put like a footnote next to something like that, where it says, in the Bengali culture which Prabhupada was a part of, this was one of the characteristics and this is one of the values that they thought. Text 20. King Pranjana continued thinking how, when he was in a state of bewilderment, his wife would give him good counsel and how she would become aggrieved when he was away from home. Although she was the mother of so many sons and heroes, the king still feared that she would not be able to maintain the responsibility of household life. So his thoughts at the time of death were fully absorbed in wife and family. Purport. At the time of death, King Paranjana was thinking of his wife, and this is called polluted consciousness. As Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mamaya vangso jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana manashashtanindriyani prakriti stani karshati. All living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to conditioned life, they're struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. In other words, that we are part of Krishna. Krishna is Satchidananda. Big. We are Satchidananda small. That's like the drop of the ocean contains the same qualities as the big ocean, a full ocean. Qualitatively the same. So we are like that as well. So thoughts of other than thoughts on the material platform are polluted consciousness. So Prabhupada continues. The living entity is, after all, part and parcel of the Supreme Spirit, Krishna. In other words, Krishna's constitutional position and the living entity's constitutional position are the same qualitatively. The only difference is that the living entity is eternally an atomic particle of the Supreme Spirit, mamai vangso, mama eva angsa. They are my, the jiva loke, the jivas, the living entities in this world, mama, my, eva, certainly angsa, part. This material world of conditional life, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord, the individual soul struggling due to his contaminated mind and consciousness. As part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, a living entity is supposed to think of Krishna. It's natural to think of Krishna. But here we see that King Paranjana, the living entity, is thinking of a woman. Such mental absorption with some sense object brings about the living entity's struggle for existence in the material world. Since King Paranjana is thinking of his wife, his struggle for existence in the material world will not be ended by death. As revealed in the following verse, King Paranjana had to accept the body of a woman in his next life due to his being overly absorbed in thoughts of his wife. Thus, mental absorption in social, political, pseudo-religious, national, and communal consciousness is cause for bondage. During one's lifetime, one has to change his activities in order to attain release from bondage. So whatever one's mind is focused upon at the time of death, chajanyante kalevram tam tam evatikante asaritan bhava bharata. Whatever his bhava or mood is, this is the law, the rule, the unbreakable rule, law of nature, that whatever one's consciousness is filled with, then in his next life, he is transferred by the subtle body, adishtaya manastayam visha upasevate. Transfer to that. So if one is a great cricket fan and he's thinking about crickets, in his next life he may be chirping away. Or, as we used to say years ago, if one was a Beatles fan, one could become a Beatle. Or if whatever we are attached to, we'll become that type of a party. So text 21, the last text we'll read today. King Paranjana continued worrying. After I pass from this world, how will my sons and daughters, who are now fully dependent on me, live and continue their lives? Their positions will be similar to that of a passenger aboard a ship wrecked in the midst of the ocean. Purport. At the time of death, every living entity worries about what will happen to his wife and children. Similarly, a politician also worries about what will happen to his country or his political party. Unless one is fully Krishna conscious, he has to accept the body in the next life according to his particular state of consciousness. Since Paranjana is thinking of his wife and children and is overly engrossed in thoughts of his wife, he will accept the body of a woman. Similarly, a politician or a so-called nationalist who is inordinately attached to the land of his birth will certainly be reborn in the same land after ending his political career. One's next life will also be affected by the acts one performs during this life. Sometimes politicians act most sinfully for their own sense gratification. It is not unusual for a politician to kill the opposing party. Even though a politician may be allowed to take birth in his so-called homeland, he still has to undergo suffering due to his sinful activities in his previous life. This science of transmigration is completely unknown to modern scientists. So-called scientists do not like to bother with these things because if they would at all consider this subtle subject matter and the problems of life, they would see that their future is very dark. Okay, if Krishna allows, we'll continue next week. Text 22, and we should this the remainder of this chapter shifts in a very wonderful way also. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments?
How can one avoid being afraid of oneself for the Krishna consciousness, and how can one act faithfully when one's fearful?
Two points. Although one's faith may not be full, still there is some faith there. And if one doesn't have faith in Krishna, he will have faith in his doubts. So we have to make a choice at some point. Which are we going to trust? Despite the fact that we may have doubts and our faith may be not fully mature, which are we going to trust? Krishna? Prabhupada, the devotees, Srimati Radharani, Nittai, Gaur, Vrindavan Dham, Krishna Balaram, the Vaishnavas, the great Vaishnava Acharyas, the holy names. Which are we going to trust? Those things, even though our faith may not be completely mature in them, are we going to trust, well, maybe this and maybe that, the little voices in the mind? Which are we going to have faith in? So that's one way to consider it. And the other thing, the other point, is that if we try our best, if we have served sincerely in our life, trying our best, certainly we will get help from Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual master, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nittai, like that. So both points, that's how I see it. Did you tell me that when right before Pendra left this world, he said, Prabhupada, you've come. Did you tell me that?
I think somebody told me that.
Yeah. A nice little story. like Prabhupada came. And also with Sudama, Prabhupada arranged such a circumstance for him. So many devotees, even Tushta Krishna, by Krishna's arrangement, surrounded by devotees, chanting Krishna's names when he was leaving this world. So sometimes Krishna will make those arrangements through the devotees. But there's care from the other side, but we have to do, we should try our best from this side. Any other questions or comments? So the difficulties, as Kunti Devi explained in the first canto, the difficulties can be seen as reminders, and we should watch how we react to difficulties. Do they catch us, entangle us in the material world, in anger and fighting and this and that, or do they drive us to Krishna? And let that direct us. So this is the science of Krishna consciousness. We can get instructions on it, but ultimately no one can do this kind of work for us. So practice. Always chanting Hare Krishna, especially when we don't feel like it and when we're in a difficult situation. We have to develop our attachment for Krishna. Attraction. So this is one side that the clock is ticking. The sand is running through the hourglass. So that's a bit of a push from one side. But on the other side, we should become attached and attracted to Krishna himself. Some experience, some sanskaras of Krishna himself. And the land of Braja. And the dealings of the residents of Vrindavan. We must gain that attraction too. And the dealings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That will pull us as this pushes us. If we only have the push and not the pull, we might not be able to jump across properly. For both need to be there. Okay, Hare Krishna. So if Krishna does, on Wednesday we'll continue. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai.